Welcome to the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast, folks. As usual, it's Taylor Nielsen.
And it's me, Jordan Macon.
Jordan Macon, there you are, my friend.
Taylor Jane Nielsen in the flesh. Did you go by TJ in high school?
I did go by TJ. I went by Jane in high school.
What's your real name? I don't know.
Can James? I choose not to disclose on the podcast?
No.
I don't want to ruin my mystique.
Okay.
The viewers are always commenting, like, what's Taylor's deal?
I know. I'm trying to speak for the viewers for once.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I don't want to ruin that quite yet. It's like in The Prestige. There's a quote that's like, once they learn your secrets, you're nothing to them.
And your secret is you're cloning yourself every night and dropping them into a vat of water. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Well, there you go. There it is. And that's a spoiler for The Prestige.
Yeah, in case you ruined The Prestige.
Well, what a special day it is, Jordan. We're here together on the Driver Comedy Podcast. Special episode because we are talking everything America.
America.
Because it's the 4th of July is coming up this week.
I know. I can't wait. I love the 4th of July.
Me too.
You seem like a patriot. You seem like a guy that bundles up a bunch of fireworks, blasts them into the sky.
Absolutely.
Yep.
Yeah, if I have the opportunity to. My wife makes me set a budget for fireworks each year.
What is it this year?
I don't know. We've talked about it, so I'm good to go.
What are you going
to
try for?
$100 probably.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's a healthy... It's not bad.
Depends where you go, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, I go to Big Mike's fireworks stand.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's a good one.
Swing by Big Mike's. Great
Big
deals.
Mike's.
2 for $5 dragon spinners and Piccolo Pete's.
You strike me as a guy that loves those little tanks.
I did like those back
and
in the day.
And you
just
point each other and let them go at it. That seemed like something you would do.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't?
With
who
your
wouldn't
imagination,
love that?
There was a whole battlefield on the ground there.
You better believe it. Better believe it. In fact, I'm going to be doing some fireworks over by Big Mike's fireworks stand on the 4th of July if you want to come by.
You're going to be doing some? Like you're putting on a show?
I'm just going to be playing with them, making fireworks, doing fireworks.
Why not at your own place? Why are you hanging out by the
well,
stand?
Well, you can't do fireworks in certain parts of the city. You knew that? Did you know that?
No.
Well, that is important. Thank you, Jordan. Remember to check your local firework codes.
If you get one thing out of this episode, be sure to check your local firework codes.
But we're talking America today.
We're talking America. We got some clips lined up.
Some of our favorite dry bar clips.
Some of our favorite dry bar comedians. People we've had on the show, even. We might see
a few of them. A few might make a reappearance. And viewers might say, hey, I know that comedian. They've been on here before.
Yep. That's how else would they respond, really?
I don't know. But should we get to it, Jay? Should we get to it?
Yes, sir.
I think when Thomas Jefferson wrote the Declaration of Independence, he was just reusing lines he'd used on girls he'd dumped. Like, look, when in the course of human events it becomes necessary to dissolve our romantic bands and assume among the powers of earth the separate and equal station to which I am entitled. And you're fat and I never liked your mother. We hold these truths to be self-evident, Tiffany, that all men are created equal and have been given certain unalienable rights such as life, liberty, and the pursuit of other relationships. You could have been bad at breaking up, though. Like, can you imagine breaking up with someone by handing them a letter that 55 of your friends signed? Weak. You know, my friends wrote this letter because they said you're mean to me. Friend John Hancock especially wants us to break up. You can tell by how big he signed it. Said he'd call you later. Look, I love America, but I gotta sympathize with England a little bit, because can you imagine how much it would suck to have your ex celebrate the day you broke up every year with fireworks and a barbecue? I mean, that's mean. I'd hate it if my ex did that. Like, yeah, remember how much Alex sucked? It's been a year. Party at my place. We are blowing crap up.
Hey, there's comedian and patriot Alex Valido.
Hold on a second. That he's been on
He's been right here.
I've seen that guy on here before.
With a bucket of Golden Corral. You should go check out that episode if you haven't watched it before.
That's right.
We all ate Golden Corral. Never been done on a podcast before.
It wasn't planned either. He just showed up with it. And that's what we love about him.
That's like one of two. I'm very good friends with Alex Valuto.
Me too. Better friends.
You're friends. I'm good friends.
Okay.
That's like one of two times I've seen him with a shaven face. Because before the special, before he recorded that day, he was trimming his beard but cut too close. Wow. So he's always a little unsettling when I can see his face.
That much of his face?
No, but that's a very good clip. Very good clip from Alex.
Alex, you know what I like about that joke? Is you can tell he did some research about the Declaration of Independence.
He memorized some stuff. Switch some words around to make a joke out of it. So it's just not reciting it.
Yeah, because that wouldn't be a joke.
That wouldn't be
a joke.
It would
just be reciting Declaration
of Independence.
But that makes me wonder, how well do you know the Declaration of Independence?
Really well.
Okay, let's hear it.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect
union.
Nowadays you would say perfecter, but that's kind of old English. More perfect union. And because we're very frustrated with the things as they stand now.
Okay.
In albeit the taxes that thou hast
declared upon us.
The tea tax we're not a fan of. We would think it would be best interest of both parties involved to really rethink, our arrangement.
Then yeah. And divide asunder this mighty nation that holds evident our truths.
Yeah.
And so on.
And
beyond.
And beyond.
That's a beautiful passage, isn't it?
I love that part. I love when they say, because the beyond, really, they saw more than what was. They only had a handful of colonies at the time.
Well, they knew there'd be amendments to it, right? Like
they knew. That's when they said, and
beyond.
With the likelihood of amendments.
Yeah. Don't let people, we don't have to let military into our house. You can have weaponry, guns and weaponry.
Yeah. We can vote on things.
You can't be too loud after midnight.
Oh, yeah. It really was more of an HOA than anything else.
That's a good way to think of it. First HOA. State, and the states are the homes. It's the neighborhood of the United States of America.
Yeah, it's not. It's like we didn't separate. We just said, hey, over here, we have a different standard, okay? In this HOA, we don't pay a tax for a tea. We don't pay a tax for tea in this HOA.
We don't bow for the jolly king of England.
Was he jolly?
No, it was sarcastic.
Oh,
Joey's
king
real jolly, isn't he? Well... good for you, Alex, for having a better grasp on the early days of U.S. history than
we
I
got
do.
It. We got to the...
You think we got it?
Well, once you get to the beyond, they kind of were riffing anyway, so...
It's a beautiful passage. what, do we have anything else?
Benedict Arnold, question.
Oh.
I don't know what that means.
Who is Benedict Arnold? What's his deal?
Is that the guy... Is that a... Doctor Strange? There's one person
Next
I know
clip.
Named Benedict.
Yeah.
And it's Benedict Cumberbatch.
It's kind of been... I don't think any Americans are naming their kids Benedict these days. That's, it's a British thing.
Was Benedict Arnold a traitor?
Benedict Arnold was a traitor.
That's
Well, because Paul Revere was lighting lamps up in the lighthouses to...
And he was blowing them out.
And he was sneaking up and...
Was that true?
Mm-hmm. And all the ships were welcoming in, the American ships they were welcoming back from war, because a lot of people don't know that. There was actually war going on the British front, too. A lot of people think that Britain was just attacking the U.S. No, the U.S. was over there with submarines, and they were attacking...
Submarines?
The U.K. as well.
Really?
Yes. And Benedict Arnold had a big hand in that. Because try and steer a submarine around if you can't see where if the lanterns are on or not.
I don't know what's real or what's not now, and so
that's the great thing about history. It's an oral tradition. It's in the eyes of the victors, which, America, we are the victors.
We did, yeah.
Gosh.
It's kind of the whole point of the 4th of July, really.
That's right. That's why we celebrate it.
What year did it happen?
1776.
Good job.
I thought you were going to trip me out on that one, huh?
No.
When did the United States celebrate their fifth year of freedom?
Well, you just add it. It's the 1781.
Very good.
25th?
Okay. 1801?
Yeah, welcome to the new century, baby.
Wow.
Yeah, this century, all freedom.
Do you think that in 1801 they thought their like clocks and computers were gonna break like in the millennium, like 2000?
What would they call?
There's submarine. They're like, our submarines were gonna break. It's a good question.
Maybe,
a good question.
You know, there's no way to find out.
You're probably in a book somewhere.
Yeah. Americans, I got a chance to celebrate July the 4th, which is a weird holiday for a British person to celebrate. I had a patriotic British friend of mine get mad at me. He goes, Chris, we lost the war. How could you? I said, I love hot dogs. That holiday means different things to different people. I was at this barbecue, and this American guy comes up to me and says, hey, British guy, is today a sad day for you? I said, back then, if you look like me, every day was sad.
Well, that was Chris James.
Chris James, not an American.
No,
judging. But paying his respects.
Paying his respects. Doing it much like maybe like the Benedict Arnold of Britain for hot dogs. Which they over, in Britain, they call them bangers. Did you know that?
I thought sausages were bangers.
What are hot dogs?
I don't think they have them. That's his whole point, that he has to come here to get them.
Yeah, okay. But they are sausages, though.
Yeah, but hot dogs aren't a sausage.
Yeah, they are. They clearly are. What else would they be? A hot dog is a sausage?
A hot dog is
not. What is a hot dog?
Hot dogs are not sausages.
What do you mean?
Any food that's the same shape isn't the same food.
But what's a sausage?
I feel like there needs for it to be a sausage to be a sausage. I feel like it needs to be more clear which animal it's coming from.
But you get your PhD in sausage.
Oh, you didn't need to go there. I only got my master's in sausage. I feel like there needs to be more spices. I feel like sausages are about the spice.
Ever had a breakfast? Sausages aren't spicy, though. See, for me, a sausage is meat, is some like assortment of meat in a tubular shape, like, and that's what a hot dog
is. See, that's where you're wrong, because sausages don't have to always be in a tubular shape.
You ever had a Polish dog?
Yeah.
What would you call that? Was that a Polish dog? Is that a hot dog or a sausage?
It's a Polish dog. I don't know what else you want me to say.
It's also a Polish sausage.
I would call it what it is.
Yeah. Okay, we're receiving confirmation here that a hot dog is a sausage, and it boggles my mind that you would not understand that.
It's not a sausage. That's like saying
a hamburger is a patty. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so is a flat sausage a hamburger too?
What do you mean? You can't just invent a food and ask me to tell you what it is. You invented it.
You ever had a breakfast sandwich?
Was the flat sausage? Was that your PhD? Was that your dissertation?
But I would like clarify. You two are gaining up on me. Holland over here off screen.
That's a good question. That flat breakfast sausage.
Because if you flattened out a hot dog like that, you'd be a psychopath.
Yeah, you would. It also wouldn't maintain its shape very well, I don't think.
I think the process of making them is similar. But a sausage conjures
similar, identical, try identical.
It conjures the idea of spices being thrown in there. Where hot dog is just like
that. Why you explain it?
That's the sausage scientist. You know, sprinkling.
Yes, it's not a chef; it's a scientist making it.
Yeah, where a hot dog is just like, give us, you know, some mouth meat and we'll grind it up.
Yeah, mouth meat. So, guys.
Holland, can you tell us what did it say online? I'm going to do my own research, dude. No.
Oh, wait. God. Wait. Cured and cooked sausages.
Is a.
And this guy, I know he over here, he's searching on Bing or something.
Difference between hot dog and sausage. You have to prime it a little bit.
You have to prime it a little bit. I love how you went straight to flat sausages to prove your point.
I'm just saying, there's no flat hot dogs. They seem very different.
Yeah.
You know, the internet seems...
divided on this point. Well, guys, sound off in the comments. Even though we already have confirmed that a hot dog is a sausage, what's your unique perspective on what that little tube of meat actually is?
Just if anyone out there...
You all right?
No, it's going to be worked up, man. If anyone out there is eating a hot dog right now and going, what a good sausage this is,
yeah,
there's something wrong.
That's, yeah.
Okay?
Well, but I don't think it's with the word choice. It's the fact that they're speaking all their inner thoughts out loud. That's the weird thing.
So let's say I walk up to you eating a hot dog.
Sure.
And I go, how's that sausage?
What's that? Sorry, I was... this sausage right
Taylor,
here?
Taylor, listen to me. How is your sausage you're eating?
This is a hot dog.
All right. Case closed, if you ask me.
Okay.
You'd be a little taken aback.
It's, you know what it's like? It's like if you saw a dog running around, you're like, hey, that's, hey, and it's a golden retriever. You're like, oh, hey, that's a neat canine. Sausage is the scientific name. Basic, right? So that's.
Sausagus demonstratus is the.
This has been.
PC name.
This has been a really.
Upset about that. I don't like where the internet stands on this, to be totally honest.
Internet and food scholars, I think, would agree. A hot dog is a sausage. Mm. Now, that being said, that we understand that. We both agree on that. I want to hear, though, British people love hot dogs. I don't even remember what we're talking about at this point. What's your favorite, you know, 4th of July barbecue food? You know what I mean? You got a classic spread out.
Ooh.
What's your go-to? What are you running? What are you, you know... sweeping aside the nieces and nephews to get to before they get their
sweep
grubby
aside.
Little hands on it. What is it?
Well, I feel like I'm just going to be doubling down here. Sorry.
It's okay.
I just don't want to be too high. There we go. Honestly, I do love a well-cooked hot dog that I'm going to be really conflicted about eating now that I have known that some people think they're sausages. I like that. I like just a little bit of mustard on it.
Yeah.
Nice little bun on it.
All right. I think the audience is well aware of what goes on a hot dog. Actually, but there's a lot of different schools of thought on what goes on a sausage.
What do you put on your hot dog?
Ketchup, mustard. I'm a fan of dill relish. I don't like sweet relish.
I don't like sweet relish either. Get out of
here. No one really does when you get down to it.
I mean, I will eat it, but I'd always just rather have dill.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't know who's enjoying that more.
Nah, I don't know.
So you're doing ketchup and mustard.
Mm-hmm.
So I
but you're just mustard, right? You're
a mustard guy. I feel like it's because your taste buds haven't matured like
mine. See, I've heard a lot of people say this.
That you don't have very mature taste buds.
No. That when you reach advanced age, you lose the desire for ketchup, and you just want mustard.
Advanced age?
I'm just...
Is this something you really read?
No, I didn't... Did I say I read it somewhere? People told me this. But there's a bunch of people who said, like, I just like mustard on the hot dog. I don't like ketchup.
Oh, anymore. So you're saying by your own research you've done.
People, yeah.
Observational studies you've done. Yeah. Ketchup, let me just go off on ketchup for a little bit. I feel like you like my thoughts.
I like. I feel like you guys like my thoughts. I like that it was like we spent you know half an hour talking about hot dogs, and then I was like, well, but what's your favorite food?
Well, at a barbecue, it's like, my favorite like a hot one. Dog. That's why I have strong feelings about it.
Yeah,
I think ketchup, on the other hand. It's overpowering.
Yeah, I could see that. Mustard's pretty overpowering, though. If you put too much on there, no.
And for somehow, it you know, it's more of a dance with the other flavors.
But you got to say, ketchup, bringing it back, is more American than mustard.
Is that true?
It's got, yeah.
Because it's red, white, and blue. It's the red of the red, white, and blue.
If they haven't made a red, white, and blue ketchup yet, they should.
Yeah, what do you like on the 4th of July, man? Enough about me.
I like a hot dog.
Well, people watching are getting a lot of ideas for their 4th of July. Like, wait,
I might try cooking up hot dogs this year. Oh my gosh, and I can just see the comments. This is supposed to be dry bar comedy, not dry bar hot dog. But I love a good potato salad. But I think my favorite thing on a hot July 4th day or night would be watermelon.
Ooh, watermelon. Seeded or seedless?
Is that Italian?
Do you like the seed?
Seedless, of course. What am I, a watermelon? What am I, a watermelon farmer trying to perpetuate my crop? Why would I want seeds in my watermelon?
Didn't you ever kind of, when you're a kid, eat one of the seeds?
Oh, and
swallow it and then go cooking a watermelon in here.
Okay. Sure. Well.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I did that. I did that too.
I didn't do it as fun, but I got worried. You ever swallow a seed as a kid and worry it's going to grow?
Yeah, people would tell you it would grow.
Yeah, why would they mess with kids that way?
I don't know.
It's fine to swallow seeds. It's
messed up. Wow. But you know what's a fun alternative to watermelon
on
4th of July?
Mango.
Hot dogs.
That was my first date, was with my wife, and people want to know, she's the only woman I've ever dated, how I knew she was the one. And I knew from the very first date, because our very first date was on the 4th of July. And on the night of our very first date, outside my window, I could hear Proud to Be an American by Lee Greenwood. I felt like I was falling in love for America, you know? It's like, I'm proud to be an American. I'm on a date. I'm 23. My wife's a patriot. That's what I'm getting at. She went out with me. She's a patriot. Fell in love for America. You weren't expecting that on that kick, were you? That kind of threw you. If anyone has some icy hot, that would help right now. Not going to lie.
All right, that was Dan Swartwout with a little story of patriotism and romance.
Falling in love with a good patriotic song in the background. What's your favorite patriotic song, Taylor?
He was talking about Proud to Be an American.
Yeah.
What's another one?
I can tell you mine. Maybe spark some thoughts.
Yeah, yeah, tell me.
I like, I don't know what we're allowed to sing for copyright reasons. The song that's about this land is your land.
This land is my land. That's got to be in the public domain, right?
I don't know.
That's like the oldest song ever.
Is that the oldest song ever written?
Yeah. This land is California. To the Pacific Island.
I remember singing that in elementary school and never being to any of those places.
And
it sounded so mystical to me.
You know what I like? Oh, say, can you see?
What's that one called again?
What is that one called? That's the Pledge of Allegiance, right? What? No, I know it's still the Pledge of Allegiance. The Star Spangled Banner. It's a classic, man. What's the best Star Spangled Banner cover you've ever heard?
Well, when I was in junior high, did you do this in junior high where like Monday morning everyone would do the Star Spangled Banner over the intercom together? Do you remember this? It wasn't every morning. I feel like it was a start of every week.
The Pledge of Allegiance.
You do the
right?
Pledge of Allegiance, but then once a week we would listen to the Star Spangled Banner.
Just listen to it?
Yeah.
And kind of stare at the flag and listen and think about
Yeah, over
America.
The intercom, over the cracked intercom. But at my junior high, they did the Jimi Hendrix that's just like the guitar.
Oh. Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
And then when I was a kid, I thought that was so like cool and punk rock that we were doing that as a junior high.
Yeah.
Being like, that's so, well, it's not like a boring version. It's rock and roll, baby.
Yes, yeah.
But now I just think, as an adult now, I'm like, that's a weird choice by the admin or principal. The principal thought he was being really cool.
Right.
And it worked for the seventh graders.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it is fun. Maybe it should have done a different cover every week or something.
It was always that guitar one.
That's got to be in the public domain, right? They can't copy strike. They can't copyright strike the very... You can't copyright strike freedom, can you? You can't copyright strike justice, can you?
I don't know.
You can't copyright strike... What?
Why are you adding strike to it?
So if it's copyright struck, if something is copywritten and then you use it, then they copyright strike you.
Oh.
On like YouTube or whatever.
Oh.
But I would like to hear, if you were to do a rendition, say they call you up.
Okay.
Inevitably, they will do this.
Yeah.
They call you
I've
up in the Mets stadium or the Salt Lake Bees stadium, and they ask you to do the Star Spangled Banner. What's the kind of Jordan Macon spin flavor you're putting on that?
Oh, here's what I am doing. Okay.
Okay. Let's
I
hear it.
I thought about this. See my hands going like this?
Yeah.
Oh, I would make a meal of that song. I would.
Are you filibustering?
What do you mean?
You just
don't. Just trying to add time because I don't really have an answer for you?
That's exactly what
no,
I mean.
No, that's of course not. I'm okay, telling good. You, I've been thinking about this okay. since I was a baby boy.
Yeah.
And I first heard the national anthem. The Star Spangled Banner, as you called it.
Yeah.
And I went, it's missing something. This needs some Jordan Macon flavor.
Yeah,
too.
What would it be, though?
Well, you know, you've seen my act.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I have. I remember it now.
I would make every word so long.
Okay.
Like, would you say?
And you because you enjoy wasting people's time.
No, it's a celebration of the song.
Yeah. Okay.
You know how when you have a favorite song, you go, "I wish every word was longer in this song." So
a lot of people do that when they do the like, you know, they want to show off their vocal chops.
Yeah.
Ooh, and then they're. Oh, well,
yeah, I would be doing. I'd be all over the place.
But it sounded like you wouldn't like vary your voice as much.
No.
You would
just
kind of
your
game. Voice would kind of shake, and you just say it for a long time.
It's a very tight window of where my voice can go up and down.
Yeah, I think I'd do like a Bruce Springsteen kind of like a Randy Newman kind of.
What does that mean?
You know Randy Newman?
Well, I know
you
who
got
he
a
is.
Friend in me.
Yeah. So how does that relate to the song?
Oh, see. all the audio listeners are hoping we do not do this. Or anybody's hoping. Oh, see, can you see?
Ooh.
By the dawn's early light, oh, so proudly we hailed.
Oh, yeah.
By the twilight's land gleaming.
Can I give you a note?
No.
But I would like to. Okay.
Yeah, what?
Just making it a little bit longer. I was so into it, but every time a word jumped ahead, I went, oh, go back to the other one.
That's great.
We had a good thing going.
But God Bless America.
Yeah.
God Bless the USA. Is that the same song he's talking about? God bless the USA.
That's the same song, I believe.
Oh, I'm proud to be in America. Yep, that's the same one. Checks out. Okay. We're good. Wow.
I had fun on that.
That was a fun one. Thank you, Dan Swartwout.
But all the different people in the world, that's what makes all the different people in this country, that's what makes it a great country, you know? And I know that because I was just recently in Europe. And did you know the Europeans, they think that Americans are lazy. Yeah. But don't you guys get upset. Because I went right over there and I straightened that whole country out. I did. I told them, look, Americans, we are not lazy. We just like to sit. And I'm right. Think about it. We have chairs in every room of our house except the bedroom. We're tired of sitting. We're going to lay down. The car, the train, the airplane, all American inventions, all moving chairs. Now, when you're a little kid, the first game you learn, musical chairs. This shows you the importance of finding a seat. And when we give someone the death penalty, we give them the electric chair. We're going to kill you. Have a seat. In fact, we get very nervous when people are just standing around. It's against the law. It's called loitering. Because we have no understanding why people would be in an area where there are no chairs. And that is why a standing ovation is so important in this country, because if you can get that big fat American butt out of his seat, well, then you've done something important.
Thank you. All right. Hey, that's our friend Karen Rontowski.
Karen Rontowski.
She, I'm feeling a little shameful because there's two guys sitting in chairs right now.
Yeah.
She really nailed us down.
We did.
To what we like to do.
And we are, yeah, we're Americans. We like to sit. All right, next clip. there is a stereotype that Americans are lazy.
Okay? I've heard this before.
And I don't think that's 100% accurate.
Okay. You're gonna offer
no, I'm not. I'm not arguing with Karen's bit. I'm not. Well, here's the thing. I'm not arguing. It's not funny.
Well, okay? No, but she's saying Americans aren't lazy. We just like to sit.
We do like to sit.
We're busy while we're sitting.
Thank you for clarifying that for me. Yeah. What do you think that comes from? That Americans are lazy.
Where does it come from?
Yeah.
That Americans are lazy.
Mm-hmm. What country does it come from? Who started this rumor?
Oh, probably the British started it.
Yeah. Maybe it was like Americans don't want to pay their taxes. These blokes don't want to pay their taxes. There must be a reason.
They're lazy, love.
They're lazy. Love. Love. Did you say love or gov?
Gov lover. Lovener.
Lovener. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's a rude stereotype.
and it needs to be copyright struck from the record.
Copyright strike. Just like they did. If we're so lazy,
is a
lazy person going to go onto a boat and lift heavy tea and dump it into the ocean?
Yeah. They'd sit down because it's tea time, yeah. And they'd drink the little tea with their pinky up. That's what they would do if they were, in fact, lazy.
Exactly. But instead, they're doing CrossFit on the boat, lifting bags of tea, throwing it, because they're not lazy.
Mm-mm. And maybe the only reason British people aren't sitting down more
is?
It's because they got those red coats where there's the flap on the back.
Yeah, that makes it hard to
sit. Where would you put it?
It would be any chair you sat on, it would throw off the distribution of the pillow or of the seat.
Flop over the side. Yeah. Bunch up in the back.
Can you imagine? Like, because maybe you could flip it through the opening on the back of the chair.
Yeah, if it's a folding chair.
But then if somebody like moved their chair next and the leg of their chair went onto your red coat, and yeah, then you tried to stand up and it just pulled you right backwards.
Yeah. You know, we started a country anew. We broke off from Britain, and we became our own thing.
Yeah.
But then, when we were deciding to brand the United States, we took the same colors that the British have.
Yeah, there wasn't a whole... I don't think there were that many colors back then.
Oh, is that what it was?
There was only red, white, blue...
Pink, and we weren't going to do pink.
We weren't going to do that.
Yeah.
But like green, but there's like, we already see so much trees and stuff. We really want our flag looking like that too.
Maybe it was like a reclamation.
A reclamation.
Of the colors. That's kind of beautiful when you think about it.
Wow, man. Someone's trash is another man's treasure.
Someone's tea is another man's trash. That's why we dumped it in
the ocean.
Dumped in the ocean.
That's not, you shouldn't dump trash in the ocean.
next clip?
Next clip.
We don't get our accents right, I don't think, because we don't go overseas that much, right? We go state to state for our vacations. We don't go overseas. Every state now is like its own country. And a lot more Americans are moving south, Arizona, Texas, Florida, California. I don't know if Americans are moving south for the weather, or if it's because as a country, we've gotten so overweight, we're actually sliding down the planet, guys. Right? Just clinging to Texas as we have a few more nachos down into Mexico, hopping off at the Panama Canal, all the way. Eventually, we're hanging off the bottom of the South Pole. Penguins are running for their lives. I've seen what they do to turkeys. Go, go. Morgan Freeman's narrating, you know?
That was our friend Patrick Keane talking about another American stereotype.
And how do you feel about this stereotype, Taylor?
I don't know. It's a tough one.
As a larger American myself,
sure,
I have heard that our portion sizes are pretty big.
Yeah,
but I'd hate to see them get smaller.
Yeah,
I like them where they're at.
You also, there's the thing about McDonald's, like that's a stereotype. Americans love McDonald's.
Yeah,
but you go outside the United States, there's a McDonald's. People love McDonald's.
Everyone loves McDonald's.
It's like,
you ever watch those videos online of like what McDonald's items are like has, in different countries?
Yeah, like in Japan or whatever.
Yeah, those are fun.
Those are fun. See, that makes me want to travel. Just,
I never wanted to travel until I heard there were McDonald's in different countries.
And we've just confirmed the stereotype Patrick Keane was talking about.
Now I think it's the other way around. Other countries to attract tourism have brought McDonald's because they know Americans will come spend their money here.
Yeah.
If they can get a McFlurry.
But sometimes it's a complete different menu they got over there.
It's true, but sometimes it looks better. Some of those McDonald's look like...
They try a little harder.
Not just fast food, but maybe a fast casual. A step up.
I wonder how the comments are going to feel about us talking about McDonald's today.
I think our viewers appreciate a great American fast food.
Yeah, yeah. I just know that they've called us McDonald's before.
They've called
us. You seen those comments? They're like, hey, look at these two McDonald's eaters just talking about McDonald's. Have you seen that?
Yeah, it's a compliment.
Oh, it is. That's actually that's referring to our patriotism.
Hey, look, I know Patrick Keane, he briefly mentions how, you know, Americans, we're not good with other places' accents because we don't travel to other countries. We just go to different states.
Yeah, yeah.
But states kind of have their own accents.
Yeah.
Do you have a favorite state accent, Taylor?
I love, speaking of Great Lakes area, Michigan, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Minnesota, something like this, maybe. Yeah. Is that a Minnesota accent?
Here we are. You're doing kind of like a...
You and me sitting here, well, gosh darn it, here we are together. Something
yeah,
like
adorable.
That. It's pretty nice.
I like that.
Yeah, it's kind of sweet.
Can you do a Boston accent?
No, Boston.
Boston.
Hey, buddy, what are you doing? You parking your car here? Are you serious? What are we doing here? Come on, parking your car here?
Where's he parking it in that hypothetical?
I think on his lawn. I can understand why he's so upset.
It's probably
What's your favorite?
Oh, I like a Texas accent.
Okay, how's that going?
Howdy, ma'am. That's a cowboy hat.
A tip of the 10-gallon hat. Is it a 5-gallon hat? How big does it go?
They go as big as you want.
Is the gallon referring to how much liquid fits in like the hat hole?
Yeah, yeah. They go off camel sizes. So the humps up here they match.
That ain't true.
I'm really
that ain't true.
That's not true.
That is howdy, not true. Ma'am.
How are you?
That's a good one. That's a
hey. There's a lot of armadillo around these parts. People in Texas like say these parts. That's
these parts.
That's referring to the general area around.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. You must have spent quite a bit of time in Texas.
I've been in Texas. I like a southern, like a soft southern accent.
I mean, southern accents are also kind of what they characterize people outside the United States characterize Americans as when they do, like, you know.
Oh, yeah. Like accent. If they do an American accent, it turns into just like a Texan accent.
I think so.
That's got to kind of inflate the ego of Texas people a little bit, I bet.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for them. They won. It would be better if people in other countries, oh, those they use Americans over there going, then can you do your Minnesota one again?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure. Darn. Oh, man.
Yeah, it'd be funny if they did that.
Yeah, it would be.
All right.
Anyways, love to our viewers down in Texas. And you let us know if this accent is correct or not. Or if it is very much offensive to you, ma'am.
So, you ever take a look at the back of a $1 bill when you're really low, you're down to ones? I love the $1 bill, the design. On the back, there's that weird voodoo hex pyramid symbol. What is that thing? It's like, yeah, in God we trust, but just in case. We better put that pyramid with the big eyeball in the middle of it. We don't want to anger the fire gods.
Hey, that's a Dry Bar favorite. Tom Ryan talking about dollar bills. You keep cash on you, Taylor?
I do not. Do you have one? And what is that wallet there?
Oh, this is Ridge Wallet.
Do they sponsor us? No, they do not.
Unclear. Let's look at this $1 bill right here. I got a lot. But we're just going to look at one.
Goodness, wow.
Look at that.
Are you?
He's talking about this pyramid with a seeing eye on top.
Yeah, man.
What does that mean to you?
I mean, it's got to be a Masonic thing, right? I mean, if I learn anything from National Treasure, that's going back to, what's the secret organization? The Ben Gates' family. They were part of the Masons.
Yep.
Were they? Were free?
I don't know.
Freemasons?
I'm lost already, but I'm intrigued.
I don't know. It is a weird look. It's a weird looking thing. I bet some of our fans out there would have some pretty cool ideas about what that is.
I would love for in the comments people to tell me what that little eyeball on top of that giant pyramid's doing.
Yeah. Maybe, I mean, if that currency was localized just to Utah, we knew it would be just mean a pyramid scheme. It'd be like, spend your money on essential oils is what that symbol would mean. Don't mean to get political.
You know, I don't know a whole lot about it, but I've heard people talk about it, and I don't want to get shadow banned here, but I've heard the word Illuminati thrown around.
And you think that's what it's about?
Yeah, because you know how secret organizations just want to put their symbols on like the most common thing in everybody's pocket.
Yeah.
That's how they got us.
Yeah, That symbol is weird, but you know what's interesting? What? I don't usually have any cash on me, coins whatsoever, but as I was walking in here, someone literally flipped me a coin today. and it's not just any coin. It is one of those dollar coins.
Whoa.
You see this? A Sacagawea.
Those are cool. I wish those took off more.
Yeah, yeah.
I like when we were experimenting with money a little bit more.
Yeah, like...
Why do you have such a hard time holding that, man? What are you trying to do?
I don't know very much about coins. but, man, Sacagawea's little baby is looking tiny in this. Do you want to see?
Yeah. Let me take a look. She has a baby?
Yeah. That's kind of her whole thing. But I mean, not her whole thing. She also, you know, like, took Lewis and Clark to wherever they were going. But pretty cool coin, huh? We make everything look effortless, huh?
I just don't want to move my mic or else I would get it for you. Can I get it for you after the episode?
Yeah, let's leave it there.
You know, I've looked at that coin many times. I've never noticed that baby before.
It's on there.
It's on there.
It's kind of That might be an Illuminati thing also. Let us know, folks.
Okay, can we go back to this coin getting flipped to you? Were you just walking down the street?
No, no, it was in the building. One of the coworkers flipped it to me.
Yeah, that's a good work culture.
Yeah.
Flipping coins.
Yeah, here's a raise. real Scrooge and Bob Cratchit energy.
Yeah, I live in America now. I love America. I love Americans. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm starting to learn more about you guys now I live here. Before I moved here, there's a stereotype that British people have of Americans. You guys might not know this, but the stereotype we have is you guys are way more confident than us. And now I live here, I've realized that is true, but there is one more detail no one told me about. And that is, now I live here, I've realized you guys are way more confident than British people, but I've noticed this confidence is often paired with very little skill. And to me, that takes bravery, it really does. Anyone can be confident when they've got a skill to back it up, but you guys are loud and proud even when you have no clue what you're doing, and I love it. Do you have any idea how many times I've been speaking to an American and they start a sentence with the phrase, "Here's the thing," and then a few minutes later it'll become evident they have no idea what the thing is. Often there isn't even a thing.
All right, Chris Martin. Now that was Chris Martin with an interesting take.
Yeah,
that's the American. That's American way, man. Some people see it as a bad thing. Other people, it means we can do anything we put our minds to.
Yeah, man. I think it's a good thing. It's a hold my root beer energy, you know.
Hold my root beer. Thank you. You really dry bar. Eyes to that phrase.
Oh, wow. Taylor, do you have anything that you are very confident in, but if you really thought about it, you're actually not that skilled in?
podcasting?
Oh, no. You're a professional.
It was just
man.
Being self-deprecating.
You're a professional.
I don't think so. How about you?
Because from my perspective, you like... talk
good at
about
everything.
Movies and film a lot and like kind of talk about, you know, use big words like chiaroscuro and mise-en-scene, and I kind of don't think you know what those words mean.
Okay. True. but that's the American way.
That's the American way.
It. You know what? I want to know if Americans don't have skills, okay, what are these skills that Americans don't have that British people do?
Manners.
Manners.
I don't know. Did you pose this question without really having anything to say?
Well, it was a question for you.
Oh, I thought I said something funny, but you just kind of stared at me.
Where's that American confidence, Jordan?
Mine?
Yeah.
I wish I had more of it.
Yeah, I feel like, yeah.
I feel like millennials. I don't
even say. Here he goes again, folks. So this guy is suggesting that the levels of patriotism and self-awareness are somehow synchronized or inverted from each other. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So as
there's a cause and effect here.
As you become more patriotic, your self-awareness goes down.
Oh.
And that's not how I see it at all, folks. No, sirree, because I both am incredibly self-aware and incredibly proud of this country I live in.
Taylor, thank you for being brave enough to say what I couldn't.
And I'll go to war to Britain again. If needs be, I'll swim right over there. I'll get over there no matter what it takes.
Is that a threat?
I hope we know. No, I would be a Benedict Arnold so fast.
So fast. I know who that guy is.
As soon as I learned that there was a McDonald's over there, I'd be like,
this place for real.
All right, that's good. We're good. Yeah, let's jump to our next clip.
A lot of people confuse being trash with being poor. I'm here to tell you they're not the same. All right, being poor means you don't have a lot of money. Being trash means you go into debt for fireworks. There's a difference. One of us had more fun, you know? He was like, oh, that's just a joke, Seth. My dad used to go to the store to get groceries for the family, come back with $0 worth of groceries, $400 worth of fireworks. That's the modern equivalent of trading your last cow for magic beans. It's not fiscal responsibility, Dad.
All right, ending things with a little bit of fireworks show, courtesy of Seth Tippetts.
Fireworks on, he's like fireworks on stage, man. Big energy up there.
Yeah, he is. And up in the sky.
He's been on this very podcast as well.
He has.
How much money have you spent? What's the most you ever spent on fireworks?
Probably nothing crazy. Probably like $200.
$200?
Mm-hmm.
On fireworks.
And fireworks, yep.
Yep. I don't think I've spent that much before.
Yeah,
I'm not really one to spend a lot of money on fireworks. I'll get the variety pack from Walmart, where there's just kind of a bunch you line up on your sidewalk, and they all do the same thing.
Well,
but they have cool names.
They have cool names.
Like Panther Horizon.
You like fountains. The ones that you put on the ground, they shoot up just like a little fountain of colors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some tanks. Here's a good question. Mm-hmm. I think the fireworks have cool names usually, right?
Yeah.
What would you name a firework if you could design one?
If I could design one and name it? Wow. That's a good question.
I hate this question.
The possibilities. It's just the possibilities are endless. I'm trying to think. You know what? I really like fireworks that are very interactive.
Kind of a choose your own adventure firework.
Yeah, and you light it and maybe...
I don't know how this works, so please explain.
Probably like it's something that spins on the ground and shoots up in the air. Those are kind of my favorite. But it's really big. It's maybe the size of like a small car. And it just... And it shoots up in the air and then explodes in five different directions, straight out, beams of light, beams of fire, okay, from the middle.
Uh-huh.
Then from those beams, it shoots out, and they connect, and it's a pentagon in the sky. Now, this is where it gets interesting, Jordan. Pentagon. Inside the pentagon, shoots in, three lines connect, form a pyramid, an eye, a giant eye in the middle. That's right. And then when you think it's over, the eye explodes, a shower of sparks. But what's it not? It's not just in the what's in the sparks. There's dollar bills inside the firework, and they litter down probably $10-15 bills, and the kids run around, they pick them up. And what do I call that? Dollar thrill. It costs $5,000.
Can we back up a little bit?
Yes, yes.
You said pentagon in the sky.
Yeah.
So you mean like the government building?
Pentagon or the shape, a pentagon.
I think you... Isn't pentagram the thing?
Pentagram is the thing that... The pentagram is specifically the witchcraft thing, and a pentagon is a five-sided shape, right? Can we get...
That's what you meant, though, not like the occult symbol.
Yes, I didn't want to... It's not a pentagram. But it did kind of turn that way, didn't it?
Yeah, that's why I thought you were confused. Can I tell you...
Is it a pentagram? I know, I'm...
Isn't that annoying? Okay, oh, Taylor.
Wait.
What?
You want me to... Are you going to ask? I have a pretty good story. Do you want me to ask your favorite or your firework you want to design and name? Maybe just... Please, keep
going. Oh, I had a firework I want to talk about.
That you come up with?
Well, this is my favorite one. I don't know. They used to do it. I don't know if they do it anymore. But it was this cool one where it would like shoot. Okay, so it's a big sky firework. it would shoot up in the sky, and it would turn into kind of like a dragon. It looked like a dragon shape.
From Lord of the Rings?
And then it would swoop down. And
from Lord of the Rings. Fellowship of the Ring.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah, yeah. That's not a real firework, Jordan.
I thought it was just like an old-timey firework.
No. No.
Wow.
But, you know, there's been a lot of advancements in technology. It could happen.
You have a story?
Yeah.
I had a game I thought would be fun. Like, stand-up name, like firework names that are stand-up based.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Standing Ovation or The Big Closer.
Well, there's something with bomb. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Obviously. Maybe, like, what's, like, the biggest bomb I could imagine? Like, Jordan making bomb. Can you imagine?
How horrifying would it be for a comedian to go to a store and buy a thing of fireworks? Just some off-brand. And there's one called The Big Bomb. It's just a picture of that comedian. Who did this?
That's great.
That's hurtful. Yeah. Taylor, you were saying you had a great story about fireworks. Yeah, I think before we get out of here.
This is a pretty great story. And this is much like me driving while watching TV shows. This is going to make people question my judgment and maybe incriminate me.
That's kind of your charm, though.
That's right. That's my mystique, as we talked about earlier. So I was, we had a barbecue on the 4th of July at the end of my cul-de-sac when I was a kid. And I had just become like a tween or a teenager. So I was in charge of lighting the fireworks this year. Okay. Now, do you know what a Saturn missile is?
No.
It's a square. You're familiar with shapes.
You
didn't know what a Pentagon Wyoming. Was. So I was just, so you just set it down and a square and it shoots it as it shoots up, it whistles.
Okay. Yeah.
And it fires off a bunch of them. Right.
Okay.
So I thought I would try and spice things up, and I took this square base firework and I flipped it upside down.
Whoa.
Thinking that it would I don't know what I was hoping the end goal would be, but what ended up happening, we're at the end of a cul-de-sac. Everyone's around in a circle. It starts firing off these things, and they have like plastic caps that fire off, and that's what like is propelled into the air. Instead of shooting them up, obviously, it shoots them down and to the side. So these plastic bullets start shooting off into the crowd. And the parents are screaming and kids are crying. It burned a hole in a guy's shirt. and then they were like, and was like, what? You know, no one was really that hurt. But then people were like, what happened? And I was like, I don't know.
Malfunction.
Yeah, malfunction.
You didn't tell anybody. You flipped it upside down.
Yeah, and I told it. But it was crazy. And I didn't tell my parents until like 10 years later what actually happened.
They're going to know now.
They do know.
Okay.
But folks.
Thanks for coming clean, man.
Don't be shooting. Don't experiment with fireworks.
No, be safe out there this 4th of July. Have this episode playing.
as the fans do.
Yeah.
Yeah, have the fireworks. Make sure the fireworks drown out the sound of our voices. Because that's the best way to enjoy this podcast.
That's not true.
No. but, man, it's awesome to be here with you, Jordan, doing the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast in Utah, in this mighty country of the United States of America.
The old USA, man.
Happy 4th of July.
Happy 4th of July to you, sir. And most importantly, happy 4th of July to you.
We will see you next time, folks. Enjoy that watermelon and
Hot dog / sausage. Because they're the same, because words don't matter.
This has been the Dry Bar Comedy Podcast. We'll see you next time.